This episode of To the Journey is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 180,000 titles for smartphone, tablet, and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice and help Trek.fm at the same time, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space, an international program of the nonprofit National Space Society. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter by visiting enterpriseinspace.org. And if you want to join the conversation and share your thoughts on this episode, join the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type B-A-B-E-L into the Facebook search field. We look forward to seeing you there.
Hi, this is Garrett Wong. I played Ensign Harry Kim on Voyager, and you're listening to Trek FM.
I think it's safe to say that no one on this crew has been more obsessed with getting home than I have. But when I think about everything we've been through together, maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey. And if that journey takes a little longer, so we can do something we all believe in, I can't think of any place I'd rather be. Or any people I'd rather be with.
To the journey.
You're here.
To the journey.
Hello, everybody at home, and welcome. This is To the Journey. I'm your co-host, Suzanne Williamson, and with me, as always, is...
Zachary Frueling.
Well, today we're going to be discussing a certain topic. Was she an evil Cardassian or a lovable Bajoran? Seska, what do you think?
You decide.
Well, I always enjoyed the character of Seska, even though she was only with us for, what, 2, maybe 3 seasons? It was just 2 seasons, wasn't it?
It was just 2 seasons, yeah. Right? Then she died. 2 seasons.
2 seasons.
We could look it up, but...
Why bother?
I think that's the most fun thing to think about with Seska for me is what would have happened had she stuck around on Voyager for a lot longer than she did. What if we had her for 7 seasons and not just 2? Would she have become that lovable Bajoran, or would she have become an even worse version of that evil Cardassian lurking within her?
My brain always went with, what if it wasn't Seska that was the spy? What if it was revealed that somebody else was the spy? Like, how about B'Elanna? So we go through all these seasons, and bam, season 6, season 7, we find out B'Elanna is really a Cardassian spy.
I love this idea. So we get to love B'Elanna. She even marries Tom.
Mm-hmm.
All the things we've come to know and love about our favorite characters, only to find out a season 7 reveal that one of those characters, like B'Elanna, or maybe someone else, but let's talk about B'Elanna, is actually the spy, and it's not Seska at all. And what if there were 7 seasons of Seska suspicion that we had to endure in order to find that out?
Seska always being thrown under the bus. Something goes wrong, it must be Seska.
Kind of like in that TV show, Orphan Black, we have an evil Seska Sestra.
You just had to work that in there, didn't you?
I did.
Are you happy now?
Yes, I am. Thank you. I do think about my one-liners beforehand. I guess it's not quite like Orphan Black. We don't have an evil twin or clone of Seska, but that would be cool too. What if there were 2 Seskas? What if they were, instead of the Delaney sisters, what if we had the Seska sisters? Seska sestras.
That would be pretty cool. I would have liked twin Seskas. And then you'd never know which is the evil twin.
Yes, exactly. Lots of duplicity.
Yeah.
So, which is a more engaging idea? Is it more engaging to think of B'Elanna being the spy, the evil one at the end of Voyager? Or is it more exciting to have 2 Seska twins, the Seska sisters, Seska sestras, as I've called them, and we constantly have to figure out which one of them is the good one and which one is the spy or the evil one? I think that's a more fun idea, honestly.
Can I have both?
So more than 1 spy on Voyager is what you're saying.
Yes. And then think about it. More than 1 spy on Voyager, and actually they don't know about each other.
So they're being duplicitous, but in their own separate ways.
Yes. So Spy B'Elanna doesn't know what Spy Seska and Seska are doing. And vice versa.
So they keep foiling each other's plots. I can imagine kind of a comedy of errors situation where they keep foiling each other's plots. Like one person's trying to do a plot and the other person does something to undo it and vice versa. And
that would be kind of cool.
It would be a very different show. It wouldn't be Voyager as we know it, right?
But imagine the reveal.
It's a little bit too much like Discovery. This is the Tyler Voke question, right?
Yes.
All over again.
But imagine the reveal after 7 seasons, and it's revealed to everyone on the ship that B'Elanna was actually a spy.
Are you thinking at the beginning of season 7, so we get to have a whole season of evil B'Elanna, or do you want to reveal at the very end that all along it was B'Elanna the entire time that was wreaking havoc on Voyager?
I would like to reveal when she finds out she's pregnant, and the doctor's scanning her and is like, whoa. This baby's half Cardassian.
Or it's got half Chakotay DNA.
Ew. Ew. Why does it have to be Chakotay whose DNA is stolen all the time from babies?
I think we still need to get Chakotay's DNA in there somehow.
Well, maybe it's evil Seska and Seska stole his DNA.
One of the evil Seska Sestras stole Chakotay's DNA, which implies to me that we would have, unless this happens in season 7, let's suppose it still happens early mm-hmm. on, we would have a Voyager baby, kind of like Naomi Wildman, but a different Voyager baby on the show a lot more. And this would be a regular part of Voyager, not just a baby that's born and goes somewhere else, right? We would have an actual Seska baby long term,
yes,
growing up on Voyager.
Not like the Borg baby that was there.
That's a really interesting idea. Yeah, no reset button, right? Something you have to live with some consequences, mm-hmm. exactly.
But then I guess that would also reveal that Seska is a spy because the baby would come out half Cardassian, unless she messed with the doctor's program and had the baby altered in utero, like B'Elanna was wanting to do with Miral.
Can you imagine the awkwardness that would arise if we had Seska, who doesn't die and sticks around? We have her taking... We have two Seskas now, right?
One of the Seskas. Double the pleasure, double the fun!
Yes. Double the pleasure, double the fun. Yes. So can you imagine the situation where we have 2 Seskas, the evil Seska Sestra sisters, one of which is good, which is evil. The evil one doesn't die, stays around on Voyager, takes some of Chakotay's DNA, because that's still really interesting. They have the half-Cardassian, half-Chakotay baby. And rather than that baby going away with a Voyager magic reset button, that baby sticks around and grows up on Voyager, and we have this 7-year-long awkwardness between Chakotay and one of the Seskas.
And Seska's constantly getting the evil eye from Janeway.
And the other Seska, who likes Chakotay too.
This is getting out of control fast.
This is the Voyager soap opera.
So wait a minute.
But wait,
Seska comes back from the dead.
Who gets to be in a coma all season?
I pick me. Because I can't keep up with it.
I picture Tom Paris. If anyone's going to be in a coma all season. No, it would be Harry Kim. Harry Kim would be in a coma all season long. Totally. I thought about Tom, but really, no, it's Harry.
And that would make for the best season ever. No Harry whining.
People would call it by that name. Oh, yeah, it's the Harry Kim coma season. like the dream season in Dallas,
oh,
right?
Oh, where Bobby's dead, but he's not really dead.
Yeah, when they do a reset button for the entire season.
Yeah, Pam was dreaming and Bobby was in the shower, yeah.
So nothing weird like that. You're not thinking like, you know, no season-long dream
no
sequence.
No reset buttons,
no. Soap opera in that sense. What would these 2 Seskas, one of which is evil, one of which is good, one of which is a spy, one of which is not, while we have Spy B'Elanna going on at the same time, apparently, according to you.
Yes.
How would that change the entire show? Like, it would be a very different Voyager. It's not even Voyager as we know it, right? What would be the major differences that would unfold from this?
Are the 2 Seskas Cardassian spies, or are they just Bajoran spies? What kind of spies are they?
Wait, you're...
Because if one is good and one is evil.
They would both have to either be Cardassian or they would both have to be Bajoran, right? There's no middle ground. One can't be Bajoran, the other one Cardassian.
That's my question. So what are they going to be?
That's a really good question that I don't have an answer to. I was kind of picturing they'd both still look like Bajorans, and one of them... What if they were just Bajorans? Like, no, they weren't actually Cardassians.
What if they were Jem'Hadar?
This whole time, they're both actually Jem'Hadar.
I don't know. I was just throwing that out there to see what would happen.
Had the Jem'Hadar been introduced by the time Voyager had started?
I don't think so.
I'm not sure. I'd have to check that. Yeah. I think maybe they were introduced in season 3 and Voyager had already started, which means Voyager would already have been lost in the Delta Quadrant. I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'd have to look.
That'd be interesting.
So I'm thinking it's probably not realistic that they're Jem'Hadar, because Voyager was already gone by the time we got to see any Jem'Hadar in Deep Space Nine.
What about changelings?
Well, there have been changelings several times in Star Trek, right? So it doesn't have to be a Gamma Quadrant changeling. It could be a, you know, the kind of changeling, a commaloid that Captain Kirk encountered in Star Trek VI. Right? There's lots of changelings in Star Trek.
Yeah, I like that.
So it's not a founder. It's a run-of-the-mill changeling, not an extra special founder changeling.
Just your average changeling.
Your average everyday changeling. Dime store changeling.
We have the Seskas as changelings now. Okay.
Well, that makes sense because they can look like anything. That, you know, if one is Cardassian, one is Bajoran, that doesn't make any sense if they're sisters, right?
That's true.
So if they're changelings, sister changelings, whatever that means, however changelings reproduce, we're not really sure, then it makes sense they can look like anything and the problem goes away. So I like this. It at least solves the conundrum of why one would be a Cardassian spy and the other one would be a run-of-the-mill ordinary Bajoran.
Would the baby also be a changeling then?
What if it were like half a changeling? What is that? Can you imagine that actually? This is a great... Okay.
Split down the middle?
You have this problem in Deep Space Nine. You have this problem a little... No, not split down the middle. Like more like you're viscous in some way.
Oh, so you're goo?
Yeah, but not fully gelatinous goo, not shape-shifting goo. Like if you were a partial shape changer, like you could partially change your shape, but not completely. Like you could take a general form, but not a precise shape.
Okay. I need an example.
Yeah, you kind of have this problem in Deep Space Nine, right? Odo gets hooked up with Kira, and they're intimate with each other, and presumably Odo just fakes it because he doesn't really have the equipment.
Poor Odo.
But suppose he did, and suppose there's something like changeling DNA, and that accounts for, you know, the changelings be a real life form. Suppose you could mingle changeling DNA with Bajoran DNA. What would you get? What would that life form be like?
But it would be changeling DNA and Chakotay DNA.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It would be a little different. We would have changeling DNA and we would have human DNA in this case. What would you get when you merge those two together in a life form in a reproductive sense, right? A half changeling life form.
Half changeling, half sexy tattooed dude.
Yeah, not split down the middle. Nothing silly like that. Not black, face half black and face half white. Yeah, no, nothing like that.
I can't remember their names.
This is not 1960s. They would do that in the original series. They wouldn't do that in Voyager. I'm thinking like a half changeling, like a being that is still largely humanoid, but can change form within some parameters. Get a little thinner, get a little fatter, get a little prettier, get a little uglier.
Okay, so still look like a
humanoid.
Male,
a little more female. Yes, but with some fluidity to it. But not a full shapeshifter like Odo or like one of our changeling Seska Sestras.
So they don't need to have a bucket is what you're saying?
No, no bucket.
No bucket required.
So we would have something like Naomi Wildman. Mm-hmm. Right? A 50-50
half-Katarian, half-human
species. Yeah. But we'd have half-human, half-changeling. And then that's a really interesting idea. I could totally see Voyager having done a character like that.
That would be interesting. But then you'd have to keep, like, Kes around to help them deal with their feelings. Because I don't see anybody else helping them deal with their feelings other than Kes. So we've got two Seskas. We keep Kes. And B'Elanna's a Cardassian spy.
Yes.
which is my favorite.
So she's not really Klingon, is what you're saying. Half Klingon. She's really Cardassian, but she's...
She's full-on Cardassian. Not even,
but she hasn't been made up to look like a full Klingon. She's been made up to look like a half-human, half-Klingon for some reason.
Because it's easier to hide the Cardassian ridges with half-Klingon ridges.
Less surgery is what you're saying.
Less painful recovery, I guess. Well, now I'm going on to another what-if. So we're going to throw away the twin Seskas and the Blana Cardassian spy, which means no goo baby.
Okay, totally new idea. As much as I like that idea.
I would like to run with that. I think a fanfic needs to happen with that. I'll contact Kay, see what she can write up. What do you think happened with Seska and Culla's baby? Because we see Seska die and Culla runs off with the baby. I always wondered what happened to the baby.
It was presumably raised as a Kazon.
But Culla at that time, I mean, I don't know if he's still Maj because he lost everything. He lost the ship. He lost Seska. He lost most of his people. So he's a disgraced Maj.
I think there's an analogy in Deep Space Nine, though, honestly. We have Gul Dukat, who has this half-Bajoran daughter, and he's been kind of disgraced. He's not in a position of power he once was, and he's got this child that he has to figure out what to do with, and he ultimately pawns off on Kira. But is that an analogy? Like, is that analogous to Maj Culla?
I guess it could be. But I mean, as a side story, I would have liked to have seen, you know, what happened.
This is something that drives me crazy about Voyager. As much as I love Voyager, I think it drives a lot of people crazy about Voyager. They didn't take the risky moves. Like, the riskier move would have been to keep the baby on the show in some way, either with Maj Culla or on Voyager. I think it would be more interesting on Voyager, right? Than to keep having
definitely.
These flashbacks to a different location with it. Right,
that would get confusing.
I wouldn't want to have the baby in, no cutscenes to wherever the baby is this week, nothing like that, right? So we want if the baby's going to stick around and grow up on Voyager, it should be on Voyager. I think it would be really interesting if Chakotay really were the father and he's got to deal with that in some way. It's just this, I would like to see some long-term awkwardness on Voyager about all of this stuff.
Okay, and I got something to top that. We keep the baby. It's Chakotay's baby. Seska doesn't die, but has to spend the rest of the time in the brig. So Seska lives. It's Chakotay's baby. And how does everybody deal with that, Seska still being there?
In the brig the whole time.
In the brig the whole time. Well, until she busts out, you know.
With the baby.
No.
Not the baby in the brig.
The baby's not in the brig. That's just cruel and unusual. So.
No, I wouldn't be suggesting that. Please, come on.
So Chakotay has to raise this baby.
What kind of person do you think I am?
Well, you know. Chakotay has to raise this baby he didn't want with a woman who he despises. That would have been an interesting storyline.
I do think having a long-term character in the brig would be a really interesting idea. I mean, we kind of saw that in Discovery a little bit, right? We had Stamets basically in the spore chamber all season. But
I mean, we kind of had Lon Suter in his own brig, locked away in his quarters.
That's right. We did, absolutely. Until he died.
Yeah.
Magnanimously.
R.I.P. Lon.
But 7 seasons of Seska in the brig would be really interesting. I kind of like this idea of constantly having to go to a confined space and all of the character drama that could ensue, not because of things blowing up, not because of action, not because of intricate plots, but character drama. Just a character that is stuck in a confined space that constantly has to interact with someone else in that tight space could be a really dramatic plot device or character device.
Oh, definitely. When other people get locked in the brig, how does she react to that and communicate with them? Like when Tom is locked away for 30 days, how does that play out?
Well, she would try to corrupt them.
Oh, definitely.
She'd recruit them is what I'm saying.
Definitely. Oh, imagine what she would have done with Tom.
Lord only knows. She'd take his DNA too.
I didn't mean like that. I may corrupt him. You know, he's feeling low. He's locked in the brig for 30 days.
He only
gets Leola root stew.
I'm sorry. I thought you meant corrupt him in a totally different sense.
Ba-dum-bump. No, the poor dude is locked in the brig 30 days, feeling down, feeling low. He only gets to eat whatever Leola root stew or something.
And there's like a And there's a big force field there that's like a window. It's like being in a zoo. Yeah, or something.
So he could be in the cell right across from her.
Nope, no privacy. Yes, okay. So they're not actually in the same cell, so they can't scheme too much, is what you're saying. Are there two cells in the brig?
I think there's more than two cells in the Voyager brig. I think there's like three or four.
Wow, I hadn't thought about it until right this second. I've never really looked for that, and now I totally want to go rewatch all the brig episodes.
Because I think there's two on one side and two on the other, and the security station is in the middle.
I think you're right. We'll have to take a look.
But I could be wrong. I hope somebody points it out if I am.
I'm sure someone will point it out if we're wrong.
I usually am.
I hope you listeners out there don't think we remember all of these details. Who has time for that? I don't have that many brain cells.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
And you're half drunk by now, so, you know, can't expect you to remember anything.
Hey, I'm only halfway through my beer.
So what would be the end game, though? So Seska is in the brig long term, six mm-hmm. or seven seasons, most of the show from whenever she ends up being put
five.
In the brig.
About five. Okay, five. It's the end of season two.
Let's say five seasons then. What's the end game? Like, what happens with Seska after 5 years of being in the brig? Does she break out? Does she stay in there? Something altogether different? Does she recruit a bunch of fellow spies along the way? Like, just from talking with them over 5 years and across the force field partition?
Between the times where Voyager's taken over for different reasons. Say the Hirogen.
Voyager has taken over a lot.
They let her out because, you know, they want to use her as target practice, just like everybody else in the crew.
Okay, so the Hirogen let her out.
So once Captain Janeway and crew take the ship back over, they got to track her down to be able to get her put back in the cell. Maybe she'd run off with the Hirogen at that point.
Oh, so instead of running off with the Kazon, she runs off with the Hirogen. And she becomes, fill in the blank, what does she become?
She becomes the Alpha. Alpha Hirogen.
I've heard of Alpha Beta, but this is Alpha Seska. Okay.
Or the crew could easily catch her and put her back in the brig and say during repression when Tuvok gets that weird message from Tiro that's embedded in his mail from his son. She gets let out again because she was part of the Maquis crew.
I was going to say, of course they would put her back in the brig because that's how Voyager rolls, right? The Voyager reset button. Oh, at the end of the episode, back in the brig. She's got to go every episode.
Back in the brig.
Every time someone lets her out, it's back in the brig. But we're not giving Voyager enough credit and we're kind of poking fun at the show we love at this point, which is a little sad, but it's mm-hmm. true. They did take some risks with Seska, right? They did not just leave her on the ship and do something weird with her. They shipped her off and, you know, she went off with the Kazon. How unusual is that in Star Trek? That never happened before, right?
That's true.
So it was groundbreaking in a way. She gave up her fake identity, but she gave up her position on the ship. And no one does that in Star mm-hmm. Trek. Like they don't leave the ship. And Seska did. It was pretty original at the time.
Well, Tom left the ship, but that was under, you know,
false pretenses.
He was on a mission.
Yes.
Yes.
He was taking a page from Seska's book, right? He was trying to play spy.
Exactly. But he wasn't the spy. Red herring, red herring.
Psych.
But going way, way back into, you know, those days before we knew Seska was a spy and...
The good old days.
This whole road that we went down with Seska being in the brig.
You're looking at it with rose-colored glasses, Suzanne.
I am.
The good old days before Seska was a spy. She was just a run-of-the-mill dime store Bajoran.
She was just a Bajoran.
Just a spunky Bajoran with an attitude. Like most Bajorans.
Who had the hots for Chakotay.
Well, yeah.
Of course. Hello. Now, thinking back to the whole mushroom incident, where, you know, she's led a Maquis operation and took the mushrooms from Neelix to make Chakotay's favorite mushroom soup.
Yes.
It really wouldn't have been that big of an issue had, you know, the 36 or so Maquis that came on board didn't have to replicate the Starfleet uniform. You know, they were running low on energy resources, yet they all had to replicate these uniforms. 36 uniforms! Probably at least two per person, because they got to be cleaned.
I presume they have to be. They don't clean themselves, right? What do they do with uniforms in Star Trek? Should we ever find out what they do with a dirty uniform? In all of Star Trek? Ever?
There's stuff that's said in, like, fan fiction, but we don't know if that's true, so, you know, hey.
I just always assumed they recycled them and replicated a new one. That's what I assumed. At a certain point, when they have replicators.
Yeah. But they would have saved so much energy and not had to, you know, like, conserve as much. Had they not replicated all those uniforms.
So, which way would they go? Let me just explore a couple of options here. This is a bit of a detour from Seska, but it's still fun to think about. So there, I can see two ways of dealing with the uniform situation on Voyager. One way is that they just plain don't have the resources and they just wear dirty uniforms for 7 years, which is gross, but it's possible.
That would smell really bad.
It's one smelly ship. The other way is that they actually go into the history books, maybe with Tom's help, because he's a 20th century history buff, and they replicate a washing machine. So right there next to Seven's alcove, they've got the crew's washing machine, and they have to wash their uniforms and wait in line.
Or they could put one person in charge of washing uniforms. So who would that one person be?
I think one of the people who ends up getting stuck washing uniforms has to be a former Maquis.
So Chell?
Yes, Chell is totally washing uniforms.
Oh, poor Chell.
He's like mine.
That's messed up.
The blue people always get to be the barbers and wash the clothes.
That's so messed up.
So racist, Suzanne.
I apologize to all Bolians.
I bet you have some blue friends, too. Really, what other options are there, right? If they can't replicate new clothes, which is how I assumed they did it, then they either have to wear the dirty ones or they have to clean the ones they have somehow. I bet you they transport the dirt. They run them through the transporter, and they can filter out the dirt like a biofilter.
Dirt and sweat be gone!
Yes! So, we always thought Chief O'Brien had the most boring job on the Enterprise, right? He gets to stand there, but actually someone has a worse job. They get to stand in the transporter room washing clothes through the transporter. That's way worse than just standing there waiting for someone to be beaming.
Maybe that ends up being like a punishment job. Instead of scrubbing, you know, conduits or whatever they end up scrubbing, you have to clean the uniforms. So it'd be Seska. It would be Seska.
So Seska becomes the Voyager laundry maid. Is that what you're saying?
If we go with that one timeline where she's stuck in the brig, yes, then doing she's laundry. Doing laundry.
Well, okay, whose job? Okay, really, we should. This is, you know, we're doing this a little tongue in cheek, but it's interesting. So Seska's in the brig. They have a laundry problem. So they, what? Replicate a bucket, replicate a wash bin, replicate a washing machine. How does she wash the laundry, first of all? And second of all, how do they get the laundry from their quarters down to Seska? Does every crew person just bring their own laundry down to Seska? Do they beam it down there? Is it one person's job to go collect all the laundry?
There's a chute. There's one general chute.
So everyone in his or her quarters has their own individual laundry chute.
No, not individual quarters, like one per deck.
I was thinking like everyone had their own and they all filtered into a main one. Kind of like Jeffrey's tubes, right? All the Jeffrey's tubes are connected ultimately.
And you do the, yeah.
Maybe they repurpose the Jeffrey's tubes, one of them, as the laundry Jeffrey tube.
Imagine if there's a clog in there. Somebody's got to go poke it out with a broomstick.
Can you picture B'Elanna in there? Like,
laundry's stuck again.
It's B'Elanna's job to go unclog the laundry Jeffrey's tube. Swearing at it in Klingon. What the top crammed or whatever down the laundry chute.
Tom!
Tom, stop putting all your boxers down the laundry chute.
He rolls it all up together in one giant ball.
Shoves it in there, clogs it up,
throws it down.
Ruins B'Elanna's day. Tom is not going to be having a good night, I'll tell you that.
No, he won't. He's sleeping on the couch tonight.
Yeah, at least he's got his TV to keep him company. Okay, well, another way to go. This is a bit more of an ordinary what if. You know, we've had some pretty outlandish what ifs. What if she's in, what if there are twin Seskas, and what if Bolan is also an evil Cardassian spy? What if she's stuck in the brig? What do you
mean outlandish?
These are, you know, if we're talking about Jeffrey's tube laundry chutes, we're getting outlandish, okay? Let's keep it real. Let's get back to Voyager basics. What if it was something a lot more ordinary? What if she wasn't a Cardassian spy at all, and she was just, what if she was just spunky old Seska?
So just plain old Bajoran.
Plain old Bajoran, kind of like Major Kira. She's a Spitfire, and she's just a Bajoran, and she stays part of the crew as a Bajoran. And that's it. Nothing outlandish. Just what would that character have become?
So she's not suspected of anything during
not
the show?
Not at all. Absolutely. Nope.
Okay.
She's Starfleet through and through. But she's got some spunk.
But
Maquis. Yeah, exactly. Not Starfleet through and through. Now she's Starfleet through and through. Former Maquis, Bajoran, Spitfire, but no spy.
Then I definitely see her with Chakotay.
I definitely think she'd still get Chakotay's DNA.
No, not his DNA in a serious relationship. Because they already had a relationship when they were on the Valjean.
That's right. They did.
I think that would carry over. And since she's not being suspected of anything, there's no reason for him to, you know, harbor any ill will towards her.
So kind of like Tom and B'Elanna became the, you know, fairly reliable, stable, married couple over time, you're thinking that Seska and Chakotay would become that couple instead of Tom and B'Elanna. Maybe in addition to it. Maybe instead of. I think it's
in addition to.
Okay. So they can do couples nights?
I would say in addition to and earlier, because they already had that established relationship. So I see that happening maybe season 2 or season 3. Season 3 at the very latest.
So they can go on double dates.
Yes. But then that would also make an interesting, it would make an interesting relationship for Janeway and Chakotay at that point. Because there wouldn't be the flirtation there.
Oh, what if there were?
Ooh, I don't know about that. That would be, because Seska is a Spitfire, that would not be cool.
Now I'm seeing, honestly, a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but I kind of picture it, a Chakotay, Seska, Janeway love triangle.
Okay. So Chakotay was with Seska.
Yes.
And things were good, and continues to be with Seska, but is towing the line with Janeway and having a little...
Yeah, there's still flirtation.
Little flirtation,
there's still an attraction.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it goes somewhere. Maybe it doesn't, to be determined. But it's definitely not there.
To me, I think it'll always go there. But that's just me. Would Q be as jealous of Chakotay as he is currently?
No, he would have no reason to be, right? We'd have to come up with something else to do.
So
with
he
Q
wouldn't have
situation.
The, you know, whole my tattoo's bigger.
No, I don't see that happening in that situation. It doesn't make as much sense, right?
Mm. Yeah. So then would Janeway end up with Q? Because in my mind, it was always Chakotay holding her back.
I've always thought Janeway and Q is an interesting idea, if not a fun idea. I'm not sure it
that
makes sense
awesome.
Either, but they certainly have that kind of quarrel banter down that couples have, right?
They play off each other so well. So well.
So from that point of view, it makes sense. I'm trying to think about what Chakotay and Seska's, you know, not spy Seska, not Cardassian Seska, but, you know, run-of-the-mill Bajoran Seska, what would Chakotay and Seska's relationship be like? What aspects of each other's personalities would come into play given that situation? I think it would work well for Chakotay because Chakotay really does seem to like some sort of stability, right? He's always the one who's like, let's find a planet to settle down on. That seems to matter a lot to him, right?
It does.
And maybe Bajoran Seska would be good for him in that way.
And possibly they might have had a child.
Let's assume they do.
Because Chakotay did say, you know, he thought about children.
So we have a...
And this Seska wouldn't have to steal his DNA, to, you know.
So this is not a half-human, half-changeling. This is half-human, half-Bajoran.
Half-Bajoran.
Chakotay Seska baby. I like this idea. I could picture Chakotay being Mr. Family Man in the right situation with the right person. I could totally picture that.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
He would have dad jokes. Chakotay, don't make fun of my dad jokes. Chakotay would have dad jokes.
Oh, he would have so many dad jokes.
He'd have like inspirational fables, stories about animals, and dad jokes.
And dad jokes. That'd be awesome. I think I could handle Chakotay's dad jokes because they came from Chakotay.
We would lose some of the Janeway Chakotay fire, you know, that mm-hmm. energy, that spark between them that we all like. Most of us, some people don't. We like it. So we would have to sacrifice that. I mean, it might still be there, but it wouldn't be the main thing for fans, I think, right? If Chakotay were mainly the family man.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there would still be shippers, but...
Oh, definitely. Shippers don't die.
Shippers don't die.
They're going down with that ship no matter what.
Shippers go down with the ship, is that what you're saying?
Yes. But if we had gotten the Chakotay-Seska relationship, I think it would have been a good thing because it would be more realistic, people pairing off. I mean, Janeway even says that people are going to start pairing off. And then nobody ever did.
Yeah, I would like to see a lot more of that.
Yeah, I mean, it needed to be more of a community and a family and real life. I mean, you're stuck with these people for, they thought at least, you know, 70 years. You needed to make it a generational ship.
But real Starfleet officers, Suzanne, are married to their uniform.
But you didn't have all Starfleet on that ship.
The Maquis would pair off faster, is that what you're saying?
At least 36 of those people were Maquis.
Would you have more Starfleet-Maquis pairings than Starfleet-Starfleet or Maquis-Maquis pairings?
I think it might be even. You know, Starfleet-Starfleet, Starfleet-Maquis, and Maquis-Maquis. I think it would be
those
even.
Those are the only three combinations, yes.
Yes!
I can see
you could
a
also
fourth.
Have, you know, Starfleet-Q.
Okay, that's yeah, a there fourth are four, combination. Four possibilities.
And then the different aliens they meet along the way, Talaxian.
Would you like me to make a chart?
Yes, please make a diagram for me.
No, you're speaking my language. I could make a complicated Venn diagram about this, like a more than two circles, like a multi-circled Venn diagram, multi-region, which are actually really interesting.
Multi-circles.
If you've ever looked these up, they're actually really complicated to draw more than three circles, but they exist.
Really?
Really.
I had no idea.
They cease being kind of uniform looking. You have to draw weird loops to connect them in all the possible ways and stuff. It's really interesting.
That would be totally Voyager then.
That does sound Voyager.
Yeah, weird loops is Voyager.
It would be interesting to do that though, to take all the different races, the common ones that we see in Voyager, create a complex looking Venn diagram that shows all the possible pairings between those two in a visual Venn diagram like representation.
Don't forget Q. You gotta have Q in there.
Q would be at the center.
He would be a little bubble.
He'd be everywhere. He's omnipresent, right? So.
Mm.
Q would be in every circle.
Very true. So Q's with everybody.
That's so weird. I don't know what that means.
Q shares the love. That's what that means.
Q gets around.
Yes. Yes, he does.
Remember that old song? He's a traveling man.
Made a lot of stops all over the world.
All over the galaxy.
Yes. Awesome. Wait a minute. Does that make Q the traveler then? Because now I'm confused.
He's like, it's okay, honey. I'll be back eventually when I'm back in your neck of the galaxy. Keep a light on for me.
Is this Motel 6?
It's like those old Western movies where you got a cowboy that doesn't want to settle down, but he keeps a sleeping bag at everyone's house.
I've never seen this movie.
I think I saw that one on late night TV once. Maybe on Tom's television. Tom was watching that movie in a Voyager episode, wasn't he?
Not that I recall. Okay.
Could have sworn. We're deviating from Seska talk, but that's okay.
This is free-form podcasting.
So Seska always struck me as a little bit like Major Kira, right? At first, before she becomes a Cardassian spy. She's Bajoran and she's a Spitfire. Very Major Kira-like, right? Mm-hmm.
Except for the jumpsuit, yes.
Yeah, what would distinguish her from being just a ripoff of Major Kira? Okay, so now she's in a relationship with Chakotay from the beginning. Mm-hmm. So Kira had to learn to be with Odo, right? That was a learning curve for her. But Seska didn't have to go through that learning curve, or maybe she already went through it, but we see Seska already in a relationship with Chakotay from the beginning. I think that's a really interesting idea, that they come on board as a couple rather than have to become a couple in the course of the show.
Yeah. I could see Seska bringing stability and family and a sense of being needed to Chakotay. So instead of him needing or wanting to settle down on every planet they ran across,
He's already settled.
He's already settled on Voyager.
And I kind of picture Seska getting bent out of shape a little bit. You know, she gets in emotional Bajoran mode where she gets a little little out of control. Kind of like B'Elanna in a way, but different in a bit more of a Bajoran kind of way. I could picture Chakotay calming her down in turn. He could be like, calm down, honey. I've got an animal story to tell you that will put all of your fears at ease.
They could go on vision quests together.
Yes.
So instead of seeing Janeway and Chakotay doing that, it would be Chakotay and Seska.
Can two people share a vision quest? Does this even make sense?
I think so.
How does it happen without telepathy or without...
You need the Akuna. You know, that thing that Chakotay puts his hand on and then it says Kuchimoyo? It's the Akuna. So as long as you're both touching the Akuna, you can be in the same vision.
Do you know that back in ancient Earth, they had an Akuna too? It was in Africa. They called it the Akuna Matata.
I knew you were going to go there because I was about to go there. Akuna Matata. What a wonderful gadget.
We have been podcasting together quite a long time if you knew that was coming out.
But I wanted to beat you to it and
Zach's
I didn't.
About to make a bad joke.
No, I wanted to do it first. Next time will be my time.
I can see that on To the Journey version 2.5 that we have a little bit of bad joke slash pun one-upmanship going on. That we didn't quite have with Kay here, right? This is...
No, because Kay kept us grounded like Chakotay would.
Now the gloves have come off. The Chakotay boxing gloves have come on, and we are duking it out with our
out of control.
Wit, our witticisms.
We're out
and our...
of control.
Well, we knew we would be without Kay to keep us on the rails.
Yeah, the listeners want Kay back. I know they do. So do I.
I used to be the one who was always like, come on, guys, let's get back on point. And I would say things like, okay, so what do you guys think about blah, 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 to keep the conversation going forward. Now I don't have to do that.
No, now you're just throwing dad jokes out every few minutes.
So we don't just have Chakotay and Seska. We have Seska and Chakotay in a relationship, and they have a baby, and they are a family unit. What would ensue with this family unit? Their kid would grow up with Naomi Wildman, right? So there'd be children on Voyager. It'd be more like the Enterprise in that way, where there are children on the ship.
There should have been.
But we would...
There should have been children on Voyager.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. In this version of Voyager that we're writing on the fly here, there would be children on the ship, one of which would be half Bajoran, half human.
And then you'd get Icheb and Mazati and the two twins whose name I can't remember.
How come we don't get to hook Chell up with anyone? Have a half...
Because he's still too busy doing laundry. Poor Chell. Laundry duty. It's worse than KP. Okay, so now I see Chell in my mind with, like, Klinger from MASH.
Oh my goodness.
So Chell is like Klinger. Because Klinger was constantly on KP or,
totally.
Guard duty, yeah. Although Chell doesn't have to wear the dresses.
Would they put the laugh track on in Voyager like they did with MASH?
Well, they had to do the laugh track because MASH was really deep and dark.
Yeah, isn't there an option on the DVDs for MASH? Maybe I haven't watched it in a long time, but I had heard at a certain point you could watch it with or without the laugh track.
Oh, I don't know.
I've never done this. Maybe listeners can let us know, but...
That would be interesting, but... I mean, Timothy hasn't forgiven me because MASH was one of his favorite shows, and then I let him in on the lyrics to the theme song, which is called Suicide is Painless.
I can't say I knew that.
Yeah, he's not forgiven me for letting him in on that. Because now I can't even listen to the theme song. He's like, this is so depressing.
There are times I feel like Voyager is kind of like MASH, actually, right? You have a lot of drama, but it's also fairly lighthearted. I could totally picture a laugh track with Voyager. and it being a little more like MASH in that way. I'm serious. Like, there's some weird, funny stuff that happens in Voyager, and it's funny, and drawing attention in a sitcom comedy kind of way would make a very different tone, but it would actually kind of work, too. It wouldn't work with Deep Space Nine. It wouldn't work with The Next Generation. It would actually work with Voyager. So at the end of the day, Suzanne, which version of alternative Seska do you like best? Do you like the evil and good twins Seska? Do you like Stuck in the Brig Seska? Or do you like Chakotay and Seska Family Hour?
That's a really, really difficult choice.
Like, if you were in charge of the show and you could retcon all of Voyager right now, retroactively, which way would you go?
It would actually really depend on my mood at that moment in time, because I would love to see the twin Seskas and the evil Cardassian B'Elanna. But then I'd also like to see Seska in the Brig. But then I really want to see Seska and Chakotay together.
So indecisive.
So I can't choose. I can't. There are so many good ideas. And it's all Seska. Woohoo!
You know, I honestly think I would go with the more mundane, ordinary version of our alternative Seska. Seska and Chakotay with a family unit on Voyager from the beginning. I think it would change the dynamic with some of the other characters enough to where it would still be Voyager in a familiar sense. It wouldn't be too radically different. But all the dynamics would be different on the show.
Yeah.
So I think I would probably, practically, I would choose, as much as I want to see Laundry shoot Jeffrey's tubes, I think that's probably a little extreme, and ordinary run-of-the-mill soccer mom Seska is the way to go.
But honestly, even with soccer mom Seska, you could still have the Laundry shoot Jeffrey's tube. Because we still don't know how they clean their uniforms.
That's true. It doesn't solve the laundry problem, right?
Instead of going to Seska in the Brig, it goes to Chell in the cargo bay. So you could still see that.
In fact, if we do have a family unit, there'd be a lot more laundry to do. And so we there would be a stronger need even for a laundry explanation, a satisfactory laundry explanation.
Oh, yeah. Lots and lots of diapers. So many diapers. This sounds like my life right now. Just diapers. And more diapers. Now I'm depressed.
Sorry to lead you down that slippery slope Jeffrey's tube laundry chute, Suzanne.
It's been fun talking about laundry on Voyager today, but this isn't the only thing we've been discussing on the network. So here's a quick look at some of the other things you may have missed elsewhere on Trek.fm.
Previously on Trek.fm, Standard Orbit.
This episode is one of those tropes. Like, why is Jack the Ripper something that just completely still captivates us in storytelling?
It's interesting. People are always obsessed. Like, you always see some new documentary on the History Channel, like, we found the new Jack the Ripper. Was Jack the Ripper a woman? Was Jack the Ripper a political figure? Was he a part of the royal family? It's like, do we care at this point?
The 602 Club.
Yes, you're absolutely right. I love the fact that the theme of PTSD carries through. And the very first thing that they do is they throw at you, they double underline, circle, and bold the point that revenge doesn't chase the demons away.
Earl Grey.
I dragged him over to Seth MacFarlane, who I'd never met before, and I said, so you're a big Star Trek Next Gen fan? And he said, yeah. And I said, well, I'm Lieutenant Commander Shelby. And he looked at me and he went, that means you're Elizabeth Denny. I suppose that's why someone like you sits in the shadow of a great man, passing off one command after he started saying all of my lines to me. And we started doing all of our scenes and lines. Isn't that hilarious?
Warp 5.
The Guardians are the Borg.
That's it. The Guardians are the Borg.
Tune in later on. We might talk about it.
Let's write that episode together.
See, but the thing is that these sphere builders, though, like they must think of themselves as the guardians of the galaxy.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
Check out all of these shows and join the conversation about your favorite corner of the Star Trek universe and beyond. You'll find us wherever you get your podcasts. If you're an Apple user, be sure to hit the subscribe button in Apple Podcasts on iPhone, iPad, Apple TV, or the desktop iTunes app to get the latest episodes as soon as they're published. And please leave us a star rating and written review. If you're not an Apple user, we've got you covered as well. You can find our shows on Google Play Music, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spreaker, SoundCloud, Windows Phone, and most third-party apps, and you can stream and download the MP3 file from our website or grab the RSS link. So we did have a giveaway going on to win the Voyager DVD set that has been donated by our associate producer, Ju Kim. Zachary is currently entering names into a random number picker from all the reviews that we got, and is now going to announce who has won the DVD set. Drum roll, please.
Okay, so since we started this review contest, again, thank you to Ju Kim for donating the Voyager DVD set. We've had 6 iTunes reviews, both in the US store and the international stores. I have all of those usernames on a piece of paper with a number written next to them, 1 through 6, and I'm going to use a random number generator right now to pick the number. So, again, drum roll again. I'm going to click the random number generator, and number 3 has won, and number 3 is the username GemScout. So if you are listening to this and your username is GemScout, let us know how to get in touch with you for real, and we will make sure you get your DVD set donated by Ju Kim.
And by the way, I love your username because I am also a fan of To Kill a Mockingbird.
So contact us on Twitter, contact us on Facebook in the Babel Conference, contact us via our form at trek.fm/contact. Send us your contact information. Let us know it's really you, and we'll make sure you get that DVD box set.
Congratulations!
So, again, just to be clear, we're not big on begging for reviews. If you love us, that's great. If you don't love us, that's okay too. We're just who we are. It was really nice of Ju Kim to donate this DVD set. We're glad someone won. GemScout, congratulations on winning. Thank you to everyone else who left us a review. We love all of you listeners out there.
Thank you so much.
Well, speaking of you listeners out there, we would love to hear your thoughts on today's show, and there are many ways that you can share your thoughts with us. The best place to join the larger conversation with us is in the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type Babel, that's B-A-B-E-L, into the search field on Facebook, and it should come right up. If you'd like to send us an email, you can use the form on our website at trek.fm/contact. Just choose Message to a Trek FM Show and select To the Journey. That will come right to us. You can also find the network on Twitter at TrekFM and on Facebook at facebook.com/TrekFM. Well, Suzanne, when you're not busy doing Seska and Chakotay's laundry, where can our listeners find you on the interwebs and around the TrekFM network?
Dude, seriously? You put me in laundry duty?
I know you'd actually be stealing Chakotay's DNA to make a baby. Let's be real about this.
Well, that's true. That's very true. Well, you can find me popping up every now and again in the Babel Conference, or you can find me on Twitter. My handle is KJaneWay8. So, Zach, when you're not stealing mushrooms from Neelix to make Chakotay's favorite soup, where can our listeners find you?
You mean hanging out with Lieutenant Stamets?
Ah, yes. Okay. Spore drive.
When I'm not working on my Voyager spore drive. You can find me elsewhere on Trek.fm as co-host of MetaTreks, Trek FM show on Star Trek and philosophy, along with my co-host over there, Mike Morrison. You can always find me in the Babel Conference if you'd like to talk about Voyager with me over there, and you can follow me on Twitter. My handle is just my name, at Zachary Fruhling. That's Zachary, Z-A-C-H-A-R-Y, Fruhling, F-R-U-H-L-I-N-G.
If you'd like to help us keep all of our shows coming to you each week, you can become a patron of the network on Patreon. Visit patreon.com/trekfm, that's patreon.com/trekfm, to get all the details. Perks include early access to episodes, exclusive content, producer credits, and more. All available through our special patrons website, The Patron Zone. It requires a great deal of money to produce, host, and distribute these shows each month. We really appreciate any support you can give us, and hope you'll join the team. Again, you'll find all the details at patreon.com/trekfm.
There are a few individuals we would like to thank and acknowledge. We'd like to thank C. Brian Jones, the founder and publisher of Trek.fm, and the individual who keeps his uniform nice and pressed down there in the brig. Our executive producers, Matthew Rushing and Kenneth Tripp, Aaron Harvey, our art director, Richard Marquez, our production manager, and Brandon Shea Mutala, our Patreon manager. And a special thank you and a shout out to our five associate producers here on To The Journey. We'd like to thank Bruce Lish, Ju Kim, Richard Marquez, Patrick Carlin, and Norman Lau. Thank you very much for your support of To The Journey and Trek FM.
Well, join us next time where we will be following the further adventures of Seska and Culla's baby. But until then, this has been To The Journey.